ladies and gentlemen, it pays to be ignorant.
Why do wedding bells ring?
Because someone pulls the rope.
Correct. Pay the man $8. What do they call little cats in Ireland?
Kittens.
Pay the man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. And here he is, the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
Thank you, Ken, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today's the day. The place is New York City. The program is It Pays to Be Ignorant, a program that just asks questions but never gets any answers. Our board of experts are three people who are so dumb they think Emily Post is a branch of the American Legion. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled The Life of the Siamese Twins, or Your Spine is My Spine. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I have earmuffs.
Yes, there was a young lady from Eton whose figure had plenty of meat on. She said, marry me, Jack, and you'll find that my back is a nice place to warm your cold feet on.
Very cozy.
Yeah, a very ticklish situation.
All right, thank you. Next, we have a woman so fat, when she gets her shoes shined, she has to take the bootblack's word for it. A woman who, when she was young, Billy wasn't even a kid, Miss Lulu McConnell.
Did I tell you, Mr. Howard? My old man had an accident.
Yeah, what now?
He was run over by a steamroller.
Oh, my word. Yeah. How did they get him in the house?
They just slipped him under the door.
Slipped him under the door, yeah.
Did you scrape him up?
No, I left him flat.
All right, please. Next, we have a man who was born at home. When his mother saw him, she went to the hospital. A man so cheap, rather, that he counts his money in front of a mirror, he don't even trust himself, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, I got a letter from my Uncle Webfoot this morning. He told me he's crossing a turkey with a centipede.
He's crossing a turkey with a centipede?
Uh-huh.
Well, what's the idea?
Well, he said next Christmas, everyone will get a leg.
That's quite a feat.
All right. Here's the first question. Let's get going here, see what we can do with it. Here's the question. In what room of the house do you find the kitchen range?
Mr. Howard, is it a gas range or a coal range?
What's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Howard, a gas range burns gas and a coal range burns coal. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I see. Thank you, Mr. McNaughton, for the information.
Well, it's quite all right, old boy. It's a pleasure. Anytime you're stuck like that.
Yeah, I see.
Just open your mouth.
Please, in what room of the house do we find the kitchen range?
Say, do you have a range, Miss McConnell?
Sure.
She's got a large front porch, too.
Well, don't you ever try to sit on it.
Okay. Miss McConnell, you said you had a range. What room is it in?
The bedroom.
Your kitchen range is in the bedroom?
Yep. I have a one-room apartment.
I see, a one-room apartment.
When I get up in the morning and I want to go to the kitchen, I stay right where I am.
Very, very handy.
Oh, look, will you please try and answer the question, what room of the house is the kitchen range?
Mr. Howe, tell me, how many rooms in the house?
Mr. McNaughton, are you an idiot, an imbecile, or a moron?
Keep trying, old boy. You're getting warm.
Say, you know, my landlady is making some improvements over at our boarding house. She's painting the dining room a bright yellow.
Well, that's no improvement.
No?
Well, you painted my dining room yellow, I couldn't stand it. I wouldn't be the same woman.
And you mean that wouldn't be an improvement? Let's get on here, please.
Well, you know, apartments are awfully hard to get today. I read in the paper where a kangaroo up at the zoo dropped her baby out of her pouch, and before she could get it back, a family of four had moved in.
It's terrible.
You know, my sister hasn't even got a house. She and her husband are living in a pup tent. Pup. And the pup came along and made them get out.
Oh, please, please.
In fact, they didn't have a leash.
Mr. Sheldon, where do you get your education?
I went to school, silly.
Yes, and you came out, silly.
No, Mr. Howard, we have a nice apartment. Small, but nice.
All right.
Oh, and we have such good service, too. When we want hot water, we just knock on the pipes three times.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means we want hot water.
Oh.
Then the janitor knocks back three times.
Well, what does that mean?
That means we ain't gonna get it.
Well, I have a nice room. I have steam heat and hot and cold running.
Or hot and cold running what?
I don't know, but they're running.
You know, I was looking at a new house today. The bathroom is out of this world.
Wouldn't that be rather inconvenient? I mean, especially on a cold night.
Look, will you please try and make some effort in answering the question, in what room in the house is the kitchen range?
Oh, range. Oh, the other day I was cooking a little lunch, and I opened the oven door of my range, and a rat jumped out of it.
Oh, boy, did you shoot it?
I couldn't. You see, it was out of my range.
Can you step in here and find these three cylinder heads while I look around for an aspirin tablet?
Certainly, Mr. Howard. And here's Harry Salter and his orchestra playing The Best Things in Life Are Free.
Our first contestant this evening.
Well, Tom, we have a very nice gentleman coming to our microphone, one who is well known to us all, Mr. Ralph Bellamy.
And
here he is.
Really a pleasure. Good evening, Mr. Bellamy. It certainly is a pleasure to have you.
Ralph Bellamy.
Yeah, Ralph Bellamy.
Oh, Howard, I saw him in the movie pictures. He's wonderful.
Okay.
Of all goose pimples.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, even the goose pimples are goose pimples.
All right, please.
Oh, my.
Will you shut up, Mr. Sheldon? Throw a fish in that mouth, will you, please? I hope you'll pardon the interruption, but seeing you was quite a shock to Miss McConnell. Tell me, what are you doing in New York, Mr. Bellamy?
Well, just finished a play and just between plays. Don't know whether to go back to Hollywood or do another play here. Just what I'm going to do at the moment.
I see. Well, that play you just finished was certainly a hit. That was the State of the Union, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yes, I saw that. That was one wonderful play. Speaking about Hollywood, I'm just curious. How long have you been in pictures, Mr. Bellamy?
Since 1930. That's almost 18 years.
What do you think of that? How many pictures have you made in that time?
I think it's 87.
87? Just the age of Miss McConnell. Isn't that wonderful? 87 pictures.
You ought to know you were there when I was born.
All right. I know, Mr. Bellamy, that our friends and our listeners and our guests here in the studio would love to know where your hometown is.
I was born in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago, Illinois? Hey, I used to work in that
school. Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, I was a gangster in a lingerie shop.
You were a gangster in a lingerie shop?
I was boss of the underworld.
I see. All right. Tell me, Mr. Bellamy, how long since you've been in Hollywood?
Well, just before the play, which is a couple of years.
Oh, yes, that's so.
Just a few years?
A few years.
I was out in Hollywood a couple of years ago.
You were?
Oh, I had a lot of influence in Hollywood.
You had a lot of influence.
Yeah. One day I got a girl in the movies.
In Hollywood?
No, in the second balcony.
Ah, please.
The usher got wise to us and threw us out.
I imagine.
You know, Ralph, I made some pictures out there, you know.
Yeah?
But prior to that, I was an old Shakespearean actor, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, Shakespeare, you know. Wonderful. All the, if all the world's a stage, where's the dressing room?
Where?
Hey, are you doing anything after the program?
Play. What's that to you?
Well, I thought he might want to go out and get a bite.
A bite?
Yeah, that's a tough proposition. Yeah,
all right, please. Mr. Bellamy, I don't want to apologize for these people. Have you heard the program before?
I certainly have, Tom. I've heard it many times. One of my favorite programs, and I'd just like to take a second here with your permission to say I think that you and Miss McConnell and Mr. McNaughton and Mr. Shelton are really contributing something in these sort of days of frustration and confusion by relieving us for the half hour that you do with a little escape and a little fun and merriment, which is all too lacking in our lives. And I just might say also that you four people perhaps prove the title of your program, having been on the air for so long, you prove that it does pay to be ignorant.
Of course, Mr. Bellamy, that depends on what sponsor you got. You know what I mean? Well, that was very nice, and we certainly do appreciate that compliment, really. We're all human, and we all love to hear such things, especially coming from a man like Ralph Bellamy. I'd like to ask you one more question, Ralph, while you're here. You see, I'm getting familiar. I'm calling you Ralph.
Yeah,
I hope
what's
you don't
going
mind.
On for a great many years?
Do you prefer the stage or the pictures?
Well, that's kind of hard to answer. It's always, I think, more fun to appear before an audience, because you get the audience reaction, and I think you'll agree with that. You know what I'm talking about. Pictures. Any picture has a minimum audience of 100 million, which is not to be taken lightly. But a play, though it has an audience of only about 1,000 people, if you happen to be in a success, gives you the reaction of the audience, and it's a different audience each night, which is sort of like meeting a new person. It's a collective sort of individual personality. And it's, I think, more fun to appear before an audience in a play, but you can't overlook that 100 million minimum audience in a picture. No, so it's nice to do both.
I see exactly what you mean, Mr. Bellamy, and I appreciate every word of it. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. As I say, it's sure been a pleasure to have you with us this evening.
It certainly has. Well, what's your first name, Ralph?
What's your first name?
Bellamy.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Howard, isn't he wonderful?
Yes,
Oh, what a hunk of man.
Yeah, oh.
What a hunk of man. Well, honey, you can just call me Fuel Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hard to get.
Yeah. Yeah, but your tank is too big. Now, let's get on there. Ralph, before you go, I'm going to ask you to reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, if you will, and would you be good enough to read the question?
Anyone here?
Anyone. Just take a choice there. It won't make any difference. They won't answer it anyhow.
It says, what great American actress is the Ethel Barrymore Theater named after?
Well, thank you. That's quite a coincidence, right in your line. What great American actress is the Ethel Barrymore Theater named after?
Mr. Howard, did you say a great American actress?
That's right.
Would it be me, Mr. Howard?
I said actress, not mattress. The woman I speak of is known by many as the First Lady of the Theater.
Well, when I was a girl, I was known as the First Lady of the Theater.
When you were a girl, they didn't have theaters. Please.
You just better look out what you're saying. My old man will come up here and knock those bumps off of your head.
I have no bumps on my head.
Well, he'll put some on and then knock them
off. All right, please.
Well, your old man must be tough.
He sure is. He don't take his hat off to anyone.
Really?
No.
How does he manage to get his hair cut?
Ah, very good question.
Thank you.
Look, the question is about a great American actress. The Ethel Barrymore Theater is named after her.
Mr. Howard, has she a brother, Lionel?
No, a play. That's right, yes.
It is?
Yes.
Let me see. Who do I know has a brother, Lionel?
Does he make electric trains?
No, please, you're on the right. Look, can't you three frugal brains get together and answer the question?
Yeah. Frugal brain, what's that?
A frugal is a sort of a musical instrument. Patty James plays what?
No, that's bugle.
Oh, a bugle. Tell them what a bugle is, Lulu.
It's a
sort of a donut.
Yes, a sort of a donut dipped in cement.
Dipped in
cement. Yeah. That's
bagel. Oh, no. You're wrong. A bagel is a hunting dog.
That's beagle, a strange-looking creature with a heavy, underslung body, short legs, droopy ears, and a long nose.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
And that's Miss McConnell again. And we're stepping here and give our good friend, Mr. Bellamy, $24.25 for helping us out this evening.
I'll be glad to, Mr. Howard.
And thank you.
Right now, the production of oil is at an all-time high. It's even greater than it was during the war years. But that fact is of little comfort in our present critical oil situation. And the situation is critical because of the recent cold wave. On the Atlantic seaboard, the weather has been approximately 25% colder than it was last year. Transportation by rail, truck, and tanker has been insufficient. Already, the demand for heating oil exceeds the supply. In the east, certain sections of the south, and in the Middle West. And as unpleasant as the prospect is, we have to realize that unless all users of fuel oil cooperate to cut their consumption, many families may face heatless days before the end of the winter. You can help yourself and every other person who uses oil for heating by following these few rules. Keep your daytime temperature down to 68 degrees and your nighttime temperature at 60. Turn off the heat in unused rooms and keep doors and windows closed, shades drawn at night, and make sure your house is well insulated.
Thank you, Ken. Another thing, Ken, I'd like to tell you, Mr. Bellamy has just requested we take that money that we've given him as a prize and donate it to CARE. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, that's a wonderful
idea.
That's
a marvelous gesture. Certainly is. Well, what has Harry Soler got for us now?
Well, Harry Soler and the Orchestra Tom are ready with the downbeat for El Rancho Grande.
Oh, yes.
A very lovely lady coming to our microphone now, Tom. I should like to introduce to you Mrs. Rose McGee, and here she is.
Oh, fine. Good evening, Miss McGee. How are you this evening? How do you feel?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. McGee, is that right?
McGee is right.
You're not Molly, are you? Molly.
No, I wish I were.
I see. Well, we are very glad to have you with us. Where are you from, would you care to tell us?
From Chelsea.
Chelsea?
Not Massachusetts. Ninth Avenue.
Oh, Ninth Avenue. I see. A ritzy name for Ninth Avenue.
Very.
Well, Ninth Avenue is a nice place, too. Do you live there? How long have you lived in New York?
20 years.
20 years? Well, you ought to know the neighborhood well.
I do.
Nice lady, isn't she, Mr. Howard?
Yes, Mrs. McGee.
Oh, she is
nice.
Indeed, yes. Merry Christmas, Mr. McGee.
All right. In case you don't know it, Mr. McNaughton, Christmas is over.
I know, but there'll be others.
Oh,
Happy New Year, Mrs. McGee.
Yeah.
Easton is in the game.
Well, there goes another year.
All right, play. Miss McConnell, will you stop laying eggs around here?
For the price of eggs today, I wish I could lay them.
All right. Pay no attention to the characters, Mrs. McGee. But tell me, are you married?
I am.
Oh, fine.
Mrs. McGee, are you married?
Well, pardon me, he got me there.
Well, pays to be ignorant.
I see.
Well,
Merry
Christmas,
Sheldon.
Mrs. McGee.
What did you say, Mr. McNaughton?
That's a Merry Christmas, Mr.
All right, please. Tell me, is your husband with you this evening?
No, he isn't. He's home sleeping.
Oh, he's home sleeping.
My old man's home sleeping, too.
He is?
Yeah, before I left home, I rocked him to sleep.
You rocked him to sleep?
You should see the rock I use.
All right, please. See the rock. I take it from what you say, Mrs. McGee, that your husband must work night work.
That's
is
right.
That right?
That's right.
I see. Tell me, how long have you been married?
Oh, 22 years.
Oh, 22 years. Well, congratulations. That's marvelous. It certainly has been a pleasure to have you. So before you go, I'm going to ask you to reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, if you don't mind. And when you get one, Mrs. McGee, we'd love to have you read it for us, if you would.
In what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
Thank you. In what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur? Did you hear the question, Mr. Shelton?
Yeah, but I don't get the drift of it.
I... All right, never mind.
Mr. Hart, would you mind repeating the question?
In what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur? Well,
Mr. Hart, what season of the year was it?
What do you mean, what season?
Well, was it spring, summer, autumn, or was it during the hunting season?
Look, please, I said blizzard. Don't you know what a blizzard is?
I do, Mr. Howard, I do.
All right, what is a blizzard?
That's the inside of a chicken.
The inside of a chicken.
She's talking about a lizard. And then she's not right.
Please, I said blizzard. And what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
Mr. Howard, wasn't that the year we had snow?
Oh. All right, Jeff. Now, what year was that?
It was the year we had snow.
Mr. McNaughton, why don't you write yourself a threatening letter?
Oh, I did, Mr. Howard. I wrote myself a threatening letter only yesterday.
You wrote yourself a threatening letter? What'd you say to yourself?
I don't know. I won't get it till tomorrow.
Look, the winter of 1888, we had a great snowfall. It was called a blizzard. We also had one about a month ago right here in New York. Now, what year was the one in 1888?
Mr. Howard, first tell me, which one did we have first?
Which? Ah, please. The one in 1888.
Why?
Why?
That was my question.
Mr. Sheldon, you get under my skin.
You think there's room?
The question is about snow.
Oh, snow, I hate snow. I like spring. Ever hear that poem? Spring, spring, beautiful spring. I wrote that.
All right.
Ever hear that poem, Snow, Snow, Beautiful Snow?
Did you write that?
No, I shoveled it.
Ah, please, not to you. Scammer, just step in here and give our charming guest $25.75 for helping us out this evening.
That I will, Tom.
Well, folks, just now here comes that ignorant baritone of ours to tell you just what we mean.
No, not quite yet, Tom. Now we're going to listen to Harry Salter again, who plays this time A Great Day Manana.
Oh, you're lovely, delicious. From that ignorant baritone to tell you what we mean when we say
it pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Well, folks, according to our friend Mr. Pelosi, our time is given out. So we'll have to be moseying along, but we'll be back with you again next week, same time, same place on your dial. We'd love to have you listen. So this is Tom Howard saying good night and good nonsense.
Ken Roberts speaking. This is PBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Alimony is when two people make a mistake and the other continues to pay for it.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What does a bee get in flowers?
It's head and shoulders.
Correct. Pay the man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. This is Ken Roberts. Johnny presents that book-happy quiz program you hear regularly over CBS on Friday nights. The program that has sent education back 2,000 years, it pays to be ignorant. Our board of experts consists of George Sheldon, Harry McNorton, Lulu McConnell, who are so dumb they think astronomy is something you put in a sandwich. And now I give you the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The first question before our board of ex-jerks, I should mean experts, concerns radio. Here is the question.
Yes.
What major network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
I'd be glad to. What major radio network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, what do the letters stand for?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, why don't you call up the radio station that used those letters and ask them?
Oh, Mr. Shelton, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah?
If you'd been a little quicker, you'd taken my teeth, too.
Mr. Sheldon, do you know anything about radio?
What do you mean? I was on the radio last night. I was on the program with a beautiful blonde, but I got Mike fright.
You got Mike fright?
Mike was her husband.
Oh.
You know, Mr. Howard, I was on the radio.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. The show was at an army camp. I sang, "Darling, I am growing older."
Fine.
Mm-hmm. And you know, after the first few bars of the song, they tried to stop me.
Tried to stop you from singing?
No, tried to stop me from growing older.
I see.
Speaking about songs, I wrote a new song yesterday.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Don't Put Pretzels in the Refrigerator.
That's Don't Put Bananas in the Refrigerator.
I know. I gave it a new twist.
All right. And, Kelly, please get back to the question. It's about radio.
I like to get in television.
Oh, television may be all right, but it'll never replace the old-fashioned keyhole.
Do you think I look good in television?
What part of you?
All of me.
They don't make television sets big enough to show all of you, Miss McConnell.
Is that so? Well, I've been told that my legs match Betty Grable's.
Don't be silly. They don't even match each other.
Oh, my word.
Well, what Betty Grable got that I haven't got?
Nothing at all. Only you've had yours too long.
Well, you can say what you want about television. It'll be a great thing, you know. Just think, you'll be able to see Jimmy Durante in your living room, Fanny Bryce in your dining room, Tom Howard in your... It'll be a great thing. Marvelous.
Mr. McNaughton, what makes you so dumb?
I have friends in Washington.
I see. The question is, what major radio network is known by the letter CBS? I don't believe any of you know anything at all about radio.
What are you talking about? I told you I did. I make a living on the air.
You make a living on the air?
Yeah.
What station?
Regan Service Station down at Seabright.
I see.
I check tires.
I see. That's fine.
My old man and I are going on the radio. One of those husband and wife programs.
Oh, really? Really? Have you got a sponsor?
Yeah. Bixley's Corn Plaster.
Fine. That'll be fine. You're always corny and your old man's always plastered.
Hey, Mr. McNaughton, you think radio is here to stay?
Well, Mr. Shelton, ours isn't.
No?
Goes back to Macy's tomorrow.
Oh, all right, please, let's get away from the silly fox. Are you going to answer the question, or must you admit that you've met your Waterloo?
Waterloo? What's that?
Waterloo, that's one of those birds that looks something like a parrot.
No, that's cockatoo.
Oh, no, a cockatoo is a small horse that cowboys ride.
That's buckaroo.
No, you're wrong, Mr. Howard. A buckaroo is not a horse. It's an animal that comes from Australia. Uh-huh. Sometimes they box it.
Wait a minute, that's kangaroo, a funny-shaped creature with a long nose, short arms, big feet, and a pouch in the front.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be inane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.